Today
with Jeff Vines.
Twice every weekday on Vision and on demand in the free Vision Christian Media app. Life, culture and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 with Neil Johnson on Vision.
We're going to be talking about the lost art of the Christian wedding. It is marriage week this week, and so turning some attention to marriage, you might be surprised about how people get married today. The majority of marriage ceremonies today, 4 out of 5, might be worth even pausing and thinking through what that might sound like to you. 4 out of 5 are performed by civil celebrants. In most Western nations, marriages have been traditionally performed in a church by a Christian minister or a priest. But preferences are changing. Our population has become more diverse. And the biggest change is the number of people having secular weddings. Perhaps that has something to do with the rise in the number of people who choose not to identify as religious. The other factor may be due to the change in marriage law, allowing same-sex couples to marry. We're talking about marriage and the wedding ceremonies today and whether a Christian wedding has become a lost art. Kiralee Smith leads Binary and has been at the forefront of challenging that rampant campaign to degender Australian society, and weddings are in some sense a part of all of that. Kiralee, a special welcome back to 2020.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
Kiralee, you've had your own wedding in your family just recently. One of your foster sons, Ty, got married. So this is right at the heart of where you're at if we're talking weddings.
It is. And my other two foster children are about to get married as well by the end of the year. So we've got lots of weddings at the moment. And my husband and I are celebrating our 25th year of marriage coming up as well. So it's all very good.
Well, congratulations on that. And, you know, if I'm divulging my own personal details here, my wife and I are coming up to our 36th wedding anniversary. So there's a fair bit of, awesome. You know, marriage in all of that. So your marriage, my marriage, listeners might want to call in and contribute today as we get things underway. Hey, your foster son got married, and you take us into it, Kiralee, because it was a wonderfully Christian wedding.
Oh, it was magnificent, Neil. It was such a wonderful celebration. Ty has married into a prominent Anglican family, and the marriage was held in a beautiful historic Anglican church in Sydney. Unfortunately, the bride's grandfather was meant to preach, but he was unwell. But one of his sons, her uncle, stepped in and did the service, and it was led by another Anglican minister. There were many of us involved, and what I loved about the service and what so many commented on is how Christ was the focus. He was central because it was about exalting him, lifting up his name. The songs were about Jesus. The Bible readings were about Jesus. The vows that Ty and bride made to one another were about Jesus. And it was just such a beautiful celebration and witness of really what is central to the gospel, and that is marriage.
Now, interesting, as you're describing an Anglican church wedding, and given the events of the past few days, the death of Queen Elizabeth, and now the accession to the throne of King Charles III, and what we've been really, I think, privileged to be exposed to is all of the Christ-centric, God-centric ways that these things happen under the oversight of the Anglican Church. Now, the Anglican Church are prominent, obviously, because we're talking today, you know, a lot about the Queen and about King Charles. But there is a certain sense in which any time you have a wedding in a church, a historic building perhaps, where there's references to God, you are in fact, you know, having your own mini royal wedding. Did it feel a bit like that with Ty's wedding?
Absolutely, Neil. And it is, you know, it's the one day, isn't it, where everyone really goes to town in the frocks and the suits and just all the extras that go alongside that. And I think often we're very inspired by the royal weddings because, again, this is about royalty. The Bible, the gospel message is very clear that as believers, we make ourselves ready as a bride for her bridegroom. And Jesus is our bridegroom. And so It is royalty. He's king. He's the king of kings. He's the lord of lords. And so weddings have to have that central focus of royalty, of extravagance, of celebration, of beauty. And I don't think there's anything more magnificent. When two people love each other and choose to marry one another and to do it as a shadow of what is to come, as the church and Jesus.
Isn't it fabulously interesting and insightful when you just pause for a few moments and reflect on God, the bridegroom, and his church, the bride? These sorts of things, I mean, weddings are so prominent in the symbolism that we can pick up through the whole of the scriptures. But if you lose that symbolism, you're losing something very, very valuable, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I believe that it's actually central to the gospel. Adam and Eve, you know, were ordained by God in a beautiful marriage together right at the beginning of the Bible. And the end of the Bible that seals that thread is the church becoming the bride of Christ. And as you said, it's woven throughout all of the scriptures. It's all about us having an intimate, beautiful, safe, amazing relationship with our Saviour. And no other religion focuses on a relationship like that. It's all about rules and regulations and duties. But the Christian has a relationship with Jesus. And that relationship, I believe God has given us that gift of marriage. It's almost like an object lesson or a dress rehearsal, if you please, for what it's really about, being woven together as one, creating families. It's the heart, the very heart of God. And so what an awesome reflection. And it's so interesting to me, Neil, that so many people, regardless of their faith background, are drawn to weddings. You know, the royal weddings are televised and, you know, have some of the biggest viewerships of anything in the world. Then we also have things like Hollywood, who, you know, are very far from the Christian faith, but always love to have a wedding or have people end up together in that lifelong commitment because it is the very heart of God.
No doubt, I think everyone listening to our conversation today, Kiralee, is if you've been married, whether it was a successful marriage or a failure, whether you got married in your church or whether you got married on the beach or whether it was some sort of, you know, strange setting that just happened to be a little bit quirky at the time and you said, let's get married there. Everyone is thinking through all of this and what's important about a wedding ceremony and what actually sets up a marriage. But when you've got, as you've experienced with this latest wedding, prayers being offered during the wedding ceremony, readings from the Bible, songs about Jesus, and a moving sermon about sacred and beautiful things that are associated with marriage. No matter where you get married, if you miss those elements, you're missing something very valuable.
Definitely, Neil. You know, I loved every aspect of Ty's wedding, and I loved the bride's uncle as he preached. You know, his open declaration was that marriage is between one man and one woman. And we know that that's been hijacked in our society at the moment. But it really lacks, when we take Christ out of marriage, it really is just a civil union. There's nothing more to it. And it actually, I think, leaves a lot of people feeling quite empty or quite, there's something lacking, because Jesus is central. We, you know, so often at weddings, the passage about two are better than one and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken, because we know that it's not just about two people in a marriage. It's three. It's Jesus, the groom, and the bride. And when we take Jesus out of it, it's not as complete as what it could be.
Just touching on something here that we communicated ahead of our conversation today, Kiralee, where you told me that the father of the bride commented after the wedding that if activists had their way, much of that service would have become illegal. What are your thoughts here for what we think of as the traditional Christian wedding and the way things are changing so quickly now in our society?
Yeah, well, that's right. And I know the father of the bride actually took an Anglican wedding service to his local MP and read through it and explained that, you know, if the activists get their way, They don't want us to be able to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. They don't want us to be able to adhere to the Holy Scriptures. They don't want us to be able to be exclusive in our declarations that marriage is between one man and one woman. They want truth speech to become hate speech and to be prosecuted as hate speech. And so much of what was said at Ty's wedding really exemplified what the activists hate and what they would really want to penalise and prosecute if they get their way. And so something as simple, as foundational and as beautiful as marriage could become a massive target, already has become a massive target, but it's not far enough for some people, and they want to make sure that we can't proclaim Christ and his teachings in a marriage ceremony.
Culture and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 with Neil Johnson on Vision.
We are talking about the lost art of the Christian wedding. Our talkback line is open on 1 800 316 316. Our special guest is Kiralee Smith. Kiralee leads Binary, and one of her foster sons just recently got married, and it was a wonderful Christian wedding. You might have your own interaction or your own thoughts to offer. 1 800 316 316. Before we take any calls, Kiralee, there's something really, really exciting and special about the Christian wedding, and that is the reflection on romance. A lot of people like to think somehow or other, you know, our Christian faith perhaps sounds a little bit staid or stale or outdated, but romance is really very much a part of the biblical narrative. It's very much a part of the sorts of relationships we have before God. Any thoughts here around romance?
I could talk all day about romance, Neil. I love it. One of my favourite topics, because I really believe, again, that it's central to the gospel. I believe that God has been romancing us since day one, and that the Bible, when you read the scriptures through that lens of romance and how he's wooing his people constantly, the lengths that Jesus went to give his own life for his bride is incredible. There's nothing more romantic. And every Hollywood film, every story, every poem, every song that's ever been written is a poor reflection of the great romance and the true romance between God and his people. And so marriage is a wonderful celebration of that romance. It is, like I said, it's the dress rehearsal for the ultimate romance, the ultimate wedding that is to come, the wedding feast that's described in at the end of Revelation. So romance is core. It is absolutely core to our faith as Christians. And I would love to see us really, reclaim romance, because it belongs to God. It belongs to us as believers, and it's a magnificent and wonderful thing. And as I said too, you know, Hollywood, all of those things, they are constantly trying to recreate that romance, but usually fall short.
1-800-316-316 to join in our conversation. Let's take a call from Mike in Tasmania. Hi, Mike. Welcome along.
Hi there. Mary and I were married in 2003, a very Christian affair. We had communion. We were asked to confess our faith in Jesus, whether he was Lord. And, you know, I was almost 48. And so the suddenlies of God do come eventually.
Yes. Mike, well, your thoughts, Kiralee?
Well, that's beautiful, Mike. Congratulations. And it's just beautiful to hear that testimony.
Mike, when you had communion at your wedding, I know that some Christian weddings have communion, some don't, but what were your thoughts on the value of having a communion service as part of your wedding? Any thoughts here?
Well, it's a long time ago, but I think it was really good. It's part of our Christian witness that Jesus is our Lord, and we are Christians because of the crucifixion and the resurrection.
Mike, it's funny, isn't it? Because when we have communion at a wedding ceremony, sometimes the young couple who are getting married, their minds are on all sorts of other things anyway, but they don't necessarily always understand the importance. But oftentimes the participation in a communion service at a wedding is very meaningful for a lot of the other people who are in the congregation who also got married with a Christian ceremony and had communion in their experience. And so they relive their own vows as you're taking your vows. Kiralee, what are your thoughts here for those sorts of symbolisms? The bride and groom, sometimes they're, you know, just trying to keep a track of what's going on, but everyone else in the audience, in the congregation, they're appreciating some deeper symbolism and powerful things are happening.
Oh, absolutely. I think that that's very much the case, that any married couple who is attending a wedding thinks back to their vows, and it strengthens the vows and the commitment to attend other people's weddings and to be a witness and an encouragement to the bride and groom who are standing before them on that day. And communion is a very beautiful, very intimate way of expressing faith, as Mike said, and also including others in that commitment, that it's a community. While it's between the husband and wife, it is a community that we live in, and it's a community that we need to help encourage us, support us, and even direct us in our marriages. So it's a wonderful inclusion in a Christian ceremony.
Mike, thank you so much for your great contribution. 1-800-316-316. If you'd like to join in our conversation today, we're talking about the lost art of the Christian wedding. Interestingly, romance, another word comes to mind, Kiralee, faithfulness. These sorts of things come out in the Christian wedding where there is a reading of Scripture, where there are prayers, where there is acknowledgement of God. Some want something different. People will go to a wedding planner, or they'll simply go to YouTube to find out what sort of creative, amazing ways they can do their wedding that is not like anybody else, because it's going to be, you know, it's going to be our wedding, it's going to be unique. But the sameness of a wedding ceremony actually is the thing that builds community. Any thoughts here around keeping things in some ways a tradition?
Yeah, well, I mean, Instagram and social media have got a lot to answer for, haven't they, when it comes to wanting to have a on-trend wedding. But that's right. I mean, one, there are definitely some legal aspects that need to be adhered to, and those legal aspects have taken the leaf from the religious aspect, that commitment, that lifelong commitment, vowing to the exclusion of all others, doing it before witnesses, that it's, you know, in this country, you have to give your 30 days notice, that there needs to be some witnesses on that paperwork. So even at that very, very basic level that every married person in Australia has to have, it all takes its lead from the religious aspect or the Christian aspect, where God is always about the witness, is always about the declaration. He's about vows and covenants even more than that. He covenanted with man, and he invited us to covenant with one another in marriage, and it's very sacred covenant. And when that's compromised, there's grief for all who are involved in that. It doesn't really matter whether someone's religious or not, there's great grief when the covenant is betrayed. And so it's a shame that today some of the aspects of the covenant are not perhaps valued in the way that they should be, but the consequences of breaking that covenant certainly do hurt people very much.
Let's take another call. 1-800-316-316. Jerusha is in Perth. Hello, Jerusha. Welcome along.
Hello, how are you? Thank you.
Very good. Need to be fairly quick. What are your thoughts?
I 100% believe in a Christian wedding. I did get married at the age of 23 in the church. My husband and I had a Christian wedding and a Christian reception, because nowadays after the wedding, you know, when people go for the after party, it's something else, but everything was all, you know, based on the example of Jesus Christ and what we believe in. And I'm happy we did that, because I believe that this generation that we're in at the moment is trying to, you know, divert our thoughts on Jesus. We're trying to please the world instead of pleasing God. And every day I thank God that, you know, I believe in him and I had a Christian wedding. And no matter what the situation is, I always go back to Jesus, because he's the head of my home.
Jerusha, wonderful insight. Kiralee, a thought or two for Jerusha?
Yeah, that's beautiful, Jerusha. Thank you for sharing. And yeah, when we make Jesus the head of our home, it gives us such a, he's such a safe place, isn't he? And such a place to have confidence. And we can know that when both husband and wife have taken those vows under the protection of Jesus, then we have confidence that we can love each other for better or for worse, and through sickness and in health and the other things. It's not just based on feelings, but based on a promise to one another.
Kiralee, getting this part of our conversation right, let's start with a bit of a foundation, because marriage is something that we understand as Christians that goes right back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. And Jesus himself defines that relationship between Adam and Eve as marriage, where the two become one flesh. How do you understand all of those fabulous foundations that we have as Christian believers, understanding what marriage is?
Oh, I think it's absolutely beautiful, and I think it's essential that not only do we understand what marriage is, but that we honour marriage. And, you know, the Apostle Paul talks a lot about honouring marriage as well. And so marriage is, it's not a sideline issue. It's not something on the periphery of our Christian faith. It is central to our faith. And it's something that we really need to understand and take very, very seriously, because there's not just a lost art of the wedding ceremony or the Christian wedding, but the lost art of marriage. And I think if we could reclaim that, that would be a really good thing.
We are taking calls, 1-800-316-316. Let's take another call. Kay is in Gilgandra in New South Wales. Hi, Kay. Welcome along.
Hi.
Hi,
I'm Kay. I'm really enjoying the program.
Good.
And we were married 56 years ago.
Wow.
In a church. My father had four daughters, and he gave the ladies' group probably $100 or something in those days, and they put on a beautiful morning tea, luncheon, after the service. And I think a problem today I find with a lot of the young people, they think a wedding is too expensive. They're thinking they have to save up $20,000. You know, and I think we could maybe set up something that there's some wedding dresses that people can use, reuse, that churches can maybe put on a morning tea after the service, and ways to make it easy for the young people to have a church wedding.
Kay, you're raising some amazing points in all of that, and I'm sure there are a lot of listeners who are saying, oh, I wish it was just $100 today to get married. But Kiralee, some really good points that Kay is raising. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right, Kay. And after 56 years of marriage, I think you have authority to speak about this issue. And, you know, look, I do hear about a lot of churches that do exactly what you're saying. They'll put on lovely morning or afternoon teas and really support the young couple. And but the issue, as you said, is a lot of couples today, though, are only focused on their wedding day, and they're not focused on their marriage. So much expense, so much effort, so much energy goes into the one day. But you can't be married for 56 years according to one day. You had to invest for day after day after day after that for 56 years. And
that's
so
right.
I think it's really important that churches really come alongside and support their young people and do exactly what you said, Kay. There's, you know, there's fabulous ways to put on a wedding that doesn't cost or, you know, have the same expense as a deposit on a house.
Kay, while I've got you here, just to include you in this part of a conversation here, because you shared some fabulous things. When the church people, and I think you said the church ladies, and talking 56 years ago, probably was mainly the church ladies who were going to be putting on that that the food for the wedding breakfast afterwards.
Yeah.
When there is a contribution from the church community, you have that that word community becomes alive, because now the church family is invested in that wedding, and there is some extra strength to that marriage succeeding. You're obviously a bit of fruit of that.
Yes. And in the last 20 years, my husband and I have, he's a retired pastor, we have put on weddings, and it's only been $500. You know, and we've handed out chickens to the ladies in the church and recipes. And I always did the 10 pavlovas. And you know, we've had beautiful weddings and wedding receptions, and someone has loaned them a dress from another town, and it's been equally as beautiful as a $10,000 wedding.
Wonderful stuff, Kay. I think you're absolutely right. When you can do things less expensively and the focus becomes on the building of the community of people who are participating in the wedding. And you know what? The fun of a wedding doesn't always come on how much money you've paid for that wedding reception. Kiralee, a final thought for Kay?
Yes, Kay, I'll say too, you know, we hosted a wedding here on our property a couple of years ago, and it was so magnificent for the community of men and women to come together to set everything up, to hang the lights, set the tables, do all the, you know, it wasn't the main catering, but there was a lot of catering around it. And it was such a community building effort for weeks and days leading up to the event. The event itself was magnificent. The next day, everybody cleaning up, and it really built a sense of community around the bride and groom that still exists to this day several years later.
Kay, thank you so much for your call. Our talkback line open, 1 800 316 316. Kiralee, want to take you back to some really important Bible scripture and thinking of the chapter in Ephesians chapter 5. And that's a chapter where Paul, the apostle, talks about marriage, not just the wedding, but about marriage and the roles of a husband and of a wife. This is a really important passage, isn't it?
It's extremely important, Neil, and I think it's something that gets glossed over and forgotten too often. And it is absolutely and utterly rejected and opposed by secular society. So it's something that we really need to dig in and fight hard for, I believe. And it's such a beautiful passage that talks about husbands loving their wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And at the end of that passage, it talks about, and wives, respect your husbands. And it's a simple formula, not necessarily easy to carry out day by day, but we're given a lifetime to practice it and to get it right. But, you know, if we really encouraged our husbands to love their wives as the church, sorry, as Christ does the church, to be self-sacrificing, to ensure that he's building his wife up so that she's spotless and blameless and he can present her to Jesus. If the wife can not just respect her husband when he deserves it or when she thinks he deserves it, but actually respect her husband and allow him to have that position in the marriage, then I know for me that every marriage I look up to, that's what that husband and wife will exemplify to me. They're the long-lasting, the successful marriages. They're not perfect. They're not the ones that, you know, that have a sheen or an appearance or an Instagrammable marriage even so. But it's a marriage that's deep and rich and committed. And there's such confidence for husbands and wives. I know that my confidence, my security in my husband is that he loves Jesus more than he loves me. And that he takes his role very, very, very seriously. And, you know, therefore I can respect him and I can love him and I can be those things to him because of Jesus being at the center and the head of our marriage. We know that television shows, Hollywood again, all of those sort of things actively work against this principle. So often the male lead characters in films and in stories are weak. They're trodden all over. They're emasculated. They're the butt of all the jokes. And, you know, there's this feminist thread through so many of those stories. And it really is in direct opposition to what a successful godly marriage looks like.
You know, there's those contentious things too that come from the Bible. The words that you might have in wedding vows, one of those words, obey. And just reflecting here for a few moments, because given that we've got the new King Charles III just taken his rightful place as on the throne, but in his first marriage, going back to when Lady Diana Spencer married Prince Charles back in 1981, she caused quite the scandal by changing her vows. And up until then, all royal brides, even Queen Elizabeth, swore to love, cherish and obey their husbands, whilst the men promised to love and cherish till death do us part. But when it came to Diana's vows, she chose to omit the word obey, a move that has heralded something of a feminist choice ever since. Now, let's not get into a big argument over the word obey, except to say that when you have a scandalous leaving out one of the traditional words, it has an effect on future generations. And she did have an effect on future generations. A comment or two here, Kira Lee?
Yeah, well, and I think that actually causes the contention, Neil. I agree, and it's very sad because, again, if husbands are loving their wives as Christ loves the church, there is no issue in obeying Christ or your husband, because that's the safest place for a wife and her children to be, is being looked after by a husband who will give his own life for her. And so I think that the feminist movement and celebrities who resist God's way, that's where the contention comes in, because there is no contention if we do it God's way. But that's ultimately what it comes down to.
And oftentimes, I'll come back to Ephesians chapter 5, which is about submitting to one another. So it's not submission of one to the other, but it is submission of one of each of those partners in the marriage to be submitted equally to one another. And of course, there's those embellished roles that you can read about in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's take another call. Our talkback line is open on 1-800-316-316. Ruben is in Mackay in Queensland. Hi, Ruben. Welcome.
Yeah, g'day. How you doing?
Very well, Ruben. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just wanted to agree with what one of the previous people was talking about as far as marriage is being so expensive these days. And I know I've had a lot of friends, I've spent $20,000, that sort of thing, and they say, oh, I've got to save up for 3 or 4 years before we can get married. And what we've said to friends in the past who have wanted to get married, we had a friend on the Gold Coast, and we said, you don't have the money to get married. Why don't you pick somewhere like a surf club or wherever you want to have your reception and ask your guests, instead of giving a present, if they can just pay for their own meal? And the first thing they sort of said was, oh, no, this such and such will get angry, or this one will get angry. Well, my answer to that was, your real friends won't be upset with that. They're going to be just happy. You can invite more people along to your wedding, that sort of thing. Anyway, they went and did that. Within the next few months, they were married, had a great wedding and reception, and they didn't go into a marriage with a $20,000 bill. And I just think that's, something you don't want, those sort of stresses on a young marriage.
Well, organisations that have wedding celebrations as their business, they've got a marketing plan, haven't they? And they want everyone to have a sort of sense of one-upmanship and doing one better and spending a lot more money on your wedding. A quick thought or two from Kira Lee for Ruben.
Yeah, I love that idea, Ruben. That's fantastic. And again, it's about the community taking responsibility. And like you said, everyone has a great time, and those that don't are not really in it to invest in the bride and groom and their marriage. A wedding day is one day. It's fabulous. It's a wonderful celebration. And it ought to be extravagant, but extravagant doesn't necessarily mean a massive price tag, because there's all things that communities can do to, contribute and invest in the bride and groom. And I think that that's a beautiful way to demonstrate your love and commitment to the bride and groom and to their marriage.
Ruben, thank you so much for your call. 1-800-316-316. We're talking about the lost art of the Christian wedding. Let's hear from Mary in Perth in WA. Hi, Mary.
Hello, how are you?
Very well. What are your thoughts, Mary?
I'm just wondering whether the position of the wife in the family changes at all if the husband isn't a Christian, or if he isn't putting God first in his life.
Well, that takes us into a whole different dimension here too. And your thoughts here, Kiralee, when you've got, the Bible sometimes makes that sort of reference to an unequal yoke. There's one who's a believer and one who's not. What are your thoughts for Mary?
Well, short answer is yes, it does make a difference. But also the answer is, as a believer, the Bible is very instructive on how we are to behave, and especially to pray for our husbands and to
to still respect them. I don't think that that is negated in any way, shape or form, but it is it's a complicated thing. And as you said, Neil, that would be a much longer conversation. It does change things, but it doesn't have to change things in the sense of our commitment to those vows, our commitment to Christ, and our desire to love our husband as Christ loves the church, as the church loves Jesus.
Mary, did you have something more to add to that thought?
No, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary. You know what it brings us back to, doesn't it? The changing ways that we meet. A lot of people meet in online dating sites. The way we meet, the way we fall in love, the way we think about marrying, because there's been huge changes over recent years, Kira Lee, and I know you've been at the forefront of this sort of thing, this sort of idea of, you know, love whoever you want to. These sorts of things start from our childhood and the culture that's built up, and even the Christian wedding celebration actually sheds a lot of light on how we're shaped for the future good of a whole society. A thought or two here around the changing ways we meet and fall in love?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's definitely an aspect of it, Neil, and I know people who have met online and have, you know, beautiful, fulfilling marriages and all the rest of it. I think what it comes down to, though, is we've redefined the word marriage, and so therefore we redefine what we think marriage is about, and that's where a lot of the complications and the difficulties are coming in, because once upon a time, even before, I guess, divorce was legalized in this country, communities would work a lot harder to help husbands and wives and to support them and to uphold the true honour that marriage deserves. And now it's become more self-seeking, more self-centred, more Instagrammable. You know, what is it going to look like and appear to others? And that sacredness and the value is not placed on marriage as it once was. And so redefining those terms has actually redefined the whole institution for many people, but it's leaving a lot of people lacking.
Of course, teenagers and going into those young adult years are very influenced by social media, and there's something of a responsibility on parents, certainly a responsibility on people who lead in the church. But to be able to help shape our younger people in what the Christian wedding affirms, because ultimately, if you get a Christian wedding right, while that's not everything, it does create a foundation, because it reinforces a nation's values around family. Because right at the moment, those sorts of values around family are almost in tatters. A thought or two, Kira Lee, on what sort of practical things you might do to maybe reinforce what the Christian wedding affirms?
Yeah, absolutely, Neil. And again, I think it comes back to the church, the sense of believers coming together and really understanding and valuing that this is a central core meaning to our whole entire life. You know, we often ask, what's the meaning of life? What's the purpose? Well, the purpose as a believer is to make ourselves ready as a bride for his return. And so if we can recapture that, and really understand the beauty, the wonder, the mystery of marriage, the celebration and the honour that it deserves, I think that we can put on weddings, Christian weddings, that make other people jealous, because we've got something truly wonderful and amazing to celebrate, and we ought to celebrate with all our might. And so we can invest into those Christian weddings and then marriages in a way that really is a beacon for the rest of society to see true fulfillment, true celebration, and the safest place for the family unit.
Well, you've given a really big challenge there, and no doubt there'll be some listeners who have got their own minds now going into overdrive about how they might do that. But to make a Christian wedding celebration that will make others jealous of what they would be missing if they didn't have a wedding that had a real God focus, Christ focus in the centre. And how do you make that super exciting? How do you maintain the traditions and also blend in what might bring that sort of excitement to a wedding ceremony and to a wedding celebration, the wedding breakfast? Those sorts of things be a real challenge And for those who are thinking through those issues, get creative. Let me know what sort of things you do if you've got a great wedding that you're planning, and love to do some more on this sort of topic into the future. Hey, time is running out, Kiralee. Your organisation, Binary, we didn't know that this would be in a time when we're reflecting on royal things, including royal weddings that have happened over now over many, many decades. But Binary is right there in the middle of a battle against the degendering of Australian society. Just take us into, Kiralee, the thought around how you might be thinking about weddings that are coming. Maybe you can't undo things from the past if you think you've made mistakes, but those things that are for the future, or even a rededication of your marriage, taking your vows afresh. Maybe people have gone through a civil celebration, all of a sudden thinking, well, maybe we need to have a Christian vow celebration as well. I'm sure there's all sorts of potential for things like that to happen. Any your thoughts for the future, Kiralee, because the degendering of Australian society has brought dynamic change. Somehow or other, you've got to think about turning things around.
Yeah, absolutely, Neil. And again, I'm all about celebration. I'm all about partying. I'm all about honouring. And I think that if we can do that with our marriages, whether, you know, we're preparing for marriage, we've been married very recently or married a very long time, really honouring marriage and exalting it and upholding it as something that is so, something to be cherished, something to be honoured, something to be celebrated, in the way that husbands and wives treat each other, in, you know, the emphasis that we can put on the wedding day, but also on our anniversaries, our families, and the way we talk to one another about our spouses and about husbands and wives. I think that we need to challenge the culture that diminishes that value and be different, be a light shining in the darkness. And I think that we can do that because it's such a beautiful and wondrous thing to do. And again, it's core, it's central to the gospel that we are in that relationship with Jesus. So it's quite simple, not necessarily easy, but quite simple. And if we stick to those things, I think that, well, I know my personal testimony is the reflection of that in my life is the amount of comments that my husband and I get on the way we love each other, honour each other, enjoy one another and celebrate one another, and the way we celebrate other people who are married or moving into that marriage phase. So it can be done, it is being done, and it's a wonderful thing.
Kiralee Smith, wonderful thoughts today. I want to thank you so much for taking some time to share those. And for listeners who want to connect with Kiralee, and you'll know from earlier conversations, Kiralee is right there in the middle of a significant battle that's going on for the future of Australia. This degendering of Australian society has major ramifications. How do you make things right in your own thinking? Participate in some campaigns that are about bringing that Christ-centeredness back into institutions like marriage. Well, to connect with Kiralee, you can visit binary.org.au. Already more than 60,000 email subscribers to Binary, and you might become one of those when you visit the website binary.org.au. Kiralee Smith leads Binary. Kiralee, thank you so much for taking some time to share your thoughts and heart with us today on 2020.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.